Well, hello again, everybody. I got double duty today somehow, but fortunately, my duty is very small here. I am just your guide this afternoon because Ruben Stairs is here via PowerPoint, as you will see some of his wit and humor comes out in the PowerPoint slides, which I do not possess. I thought about printing off the first 12 PowerPoints here, because our first 12 is going to be basically a review of where we're at in Isaiah and all the things he covers at the beginning. And then we'll review the passages we've covered. To know Jesus better is what this is all about. It's not just about now, but then. And since the passages of Isaiah that we're going to be reading have been around for 2,800 years, as Ruben says, I think we can say they stand the test of time. So, first of all, we're going to start with a little review here. Isaiah's life, 800, 700 years before Jesus. Prophecies preserved in the book of Isaiah. His career spanned many decades, and his style changed over the course of his life. Notable change after chapter 39. No material evidence to suggest that it's actually a different author. Who can remember the kings that he talked about, the three kings during Isaiah's time of prophecy? One king? Can anybody remember one king?
Ahaz.
That's the only guy I ever remember, too. It's the shortest one. Anybody else?
Hezekiah.
And Uzziah? Dun-dun-dun. We got it. Uzziah was good, Ahaz was bad, and Hezekiah was very good. The other kingdoms especially important in Isaiah was Assyria, Syria, and Israel. And Syria and Israel wanted to force Judah into an alliance to stand up against Assyria. Do you guys think it would have been kind of funny if I would have printed off the first 12 of these PowerPoints and then next Sunday when Ruben asks us these questions, we can all be like giving him word-for-word answers to each one? He would think, wow, he's really doing a good job. And here's a bit of a map showing the different areas, Assyria. Did you notice Nineveh in Assyria? This is where Jonah went after a Piskine detour. It was the capital city of Assyria. Piskine means of, relating to, or characteristic of fish. So there was Nineveh took a Piskine this detour over there, anyway. As I said, I'm not Ruben Sayers. Then again, we'll just glance over these slides. Assyria would soon be taken, would soon destroy Syria and Israel. Judah would be left weakened and alone. Israel is taken off into captivity, and that area becomes Samaria. Jewish history would continue to the time of Jesus through the southern kingdom, Judah. Some detours for Judah, but they end up under the dominion of Rome whenever Jesus comes. And that brings us up to the time of Jesus. And many of the prophecies in the first half of Isaiah relate to political situation at hand. Some look beyond that time to the time of the Messiah. Isaiah was a prophet. His messianic prophecies are continually called upon in the New Testament. We read one of those this morning from Isaiah 53 to give us a clear picture of who Jesus was. Prophets come in many flavors. Some were true, some were false. Some were static, some were solitary. Some came and went mysteriously, and some lived and worked in groups. They're very different in tone. Here's a few more details about Isaiah's life. I was told that this Sunday school class would be short because I think like 20 minutes. Then Ruben sent me a PowerPoint with 44 slides, so I'm thinking that's 30 seconds a slide. So we'll try to get through to the... We'll try to get through to the readings, and the singing is what we really want to get into this morning. This is, again, more on prophets. Prophets did foretelling. They proclaimed God's justice and judgment in a context, and they also did foretelling or providing prophecies that would eventually be fulfilled later. Then again, the mysteriousness of the future, Reuben talked about that. How sometimes it seems like there's an initial fulfillment, but then an ultimate fulfillment. Some prophecies remain unfulfilled, and some that very few people would claim to understand. Ms. Reuben would say, that's not a problem. In fact, beware of teachers who use these mysterious prophecies to reveal or unlock secrets of faith if for some reason everyone else has missed. Since prophecies aren't always clear and are open to interpretation, it can be misused. Free pastoral advice from Reuben Zares. Okay, here we go. Now we're going to start into the reading and singing. Would someone please read the following passage out loud? So this is anybody. Just volunteer and start reading nice and loud and clear.
Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction has not slumbered.
I guess that was a warning about the prophets, that it could be true or false. And now we're actually going to get into the readings from Isaiah. As Reuben would remind us, there's no hurry when we're reading. How do you think Keith did? I thought he was pretty good. Not too fast. Not too slow. First reading comes from material we've covered. The second set of readings will come from material we haven't covered. And then we're going to be singing as well. Some great hymns have been based on Isaiah. So if we read a passage that a hymn has been based on, then Liz will lead us in singing that song. So another volunteer to read this passage, please.
The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know.
Another volunteer?
The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
The last slide does sound like the gospel coming into the world. And it isn't finished, but for those of us who receive Jesus as Lord, the description has become part of our lives, and we're ready to live in it. And there will come a day when Christ returns and as the judge of the world and to make everything a new creation.
Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst. He also made a wine press in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes.
Seraphim, each has six wings, with two it covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew, and one cried to
50-cent word to learn. Trisagion, Eucharistic hymn beginning with the threefold invocation of God. Holy, holy, holy. You may not know what it was called, but you have probably sung it many times. And we are going to sing it now, which is hymn number 5.
All right, let's sing verses 1 and 3. Holy, 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 Lord God
Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity.
We can join in singing holy, holy, and join Isaiah the prophet and all those who have gone before, even as they sing holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Next, I think we have a comparison of a passage from Revelation where we hear that holy, holy, holy declaration is still going on, and we just want to take a look at that. Someone please read this in the next slide together so there'll be a flow from one to the next.
In the center around the throne were 4 living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being."
Amen. Thanks, Molly. It just makes you wonder someday when it will be like to hear the songs up there. And you wonder, too, what John was seeing whenever he saw these things covered with, he describes them as being covered with eyes around and back. I don't think there's going to be creepy stuff in heaven, but that sounds pretty close.
Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, had risen, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both their hands. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah.
His name shall be called Emmanuel. So verse 1 of hymn 111. Does everyone have a hymn book that you can reach?
ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
You know, it makes you think, doesn't it, that God ransomed this nation of Israel and then he ransoms the whole world from sin, and one day he's going to make all things new. The E in Emmanuel here comes from Latin spelling. It's the same person as Emmanuel. The name is used to describe Jesus 3 times in the Bible, twice in Isaiah, and then once in Matthew as a quotation.
Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. As when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily opposed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with just judgment and justice. From that time forward, ever, forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Amen.
Number 125.
John, how many verses do you have back there?
Three.
3 verses? All right, let's do all 3 of them.
Reuben went looking for other hymns and songs based on texts from Isaiah. They could find only one other well-known hymn based clearly on a text from Isaiah. Any guesses? Not. That's a good one, but it's not a hymn.
The verse.
The verse. Can't give you the verse. No guesses? Marcus? Not quite, according to Reuben's PowerPoint. A season?
Yeah, one song.
I think it's his death. That's what my wife said. I'm just saying. That's
Nobody's
not.
Close.
It's close to that, but it's not quite there. Very close to that. That could be one that maybe they missed. Well, should we continue on? And surprise, it's not on the next slide. He's kept it from us. So, but we'll come back to it before the end. Another volunteer.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the youngest goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young one shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the bowl. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall see him, and his resting place shall be glorious.
Quick quiz. What's going to lie down with the lion? The lion and the what? Based on that passage. What about the lion and the lamb part? I mentioned options. Reuben is talking about in heaven, millennial kingdom, figurative language. I was inserting a question of my own there, actually, not with the slide, because when you read that passage, I was just wondering what you think of. I always put the lion and the lamb together, but we'll find out differently here in a second. So Jesus is the God of Jesse. This passage would be fulfilled when Jesus was born. Then he mentioned options for the fulfillment of it. Figurative language, it's already happening. It's poetry, not a textbook. And Reuben tells us where his personal leaning is toward the figurative language idea. Vicky, on the other hand, wants to pet lions in heaven. Again, if all the violence or chomping were taken out of the food chain, there wouldn't not only be steak dinners or McDonald's, there would be no compost and probably no vegetables. So we know them either. God could do it if he so chooses. On that we all agree. So here's a picture to evaluate based on that passage. With the lion and the lamb cuddling up on this picture. Or what seems to be closest to the lamb. If you see him over there. Lamb. Where is the lion? There's the lion. What's right there? Yeah. The wolf. That's what actually was in the passage. According to Thistle Drew's art blog, a lion and a lamb are not actually paired up anywhere in the text, but the two animals seem to typify his work. The Bible text prophesies of a time when there will be peace on earth, when the most ferocious beast will eat and sleep alongside the most timid. Now some biography on Edward Hicks. He was orphaned as a baby, raised by a Quaker family. He endured a lot of conflict over his chosen profession because the Quakers felt that artwork was getting too worldly. Because of that, he did not do any portraits, but he stuck to religious scenes, although he did several incredible patriotic scenes and landscapes. In the passage, which animal lies beside the lion? I think I gave that one away. Wait, no, I didn't. Which animal lies beside the lion if the lamb's not there? What?
The calf.
The calf. Or in the words of the NIV that I read, it would call it a...
Fatling.
A what? Fatling, yes, thank you. I remembered it was fat, but I couldn't remember anything else. Okay, let's take a look at some brand new passages, and Reuben will probably come back to these... We will probably come back to these before our study's over.
Comfort, yes, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
John the Baptist, of course.
Was there?
Yeah. That's the Messiah? Is there a hymn too?
No, there's another one.
Okay. All right. We'll have to let Reuben know. We found some more hymns. Oh, did he say popular hymn? Well-known hymn? I think it was in the PowerPoint, actually. A well-known hymn. So, Keith knows it. Anybody else know that? I don't know, it's 5% well known.
The passage that you read about the angels that had eyes up in their wings and they said, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor.
Okay. Other people know that hymn? How does it go? Thou was created? Like, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Ah, that's, I know it, that's well known. Okay, so John the Baptist, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all quote this, that while John was preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins, this is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Interesting paintings of John the Baptist. Da Vinci left, you pronounce it on the right. Let's move to chapter 53.
Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
On a personal note, I think that's one of the most beautiful passages in the Old Testament. What a description of what Jesus would be for us. The great messianic passages, we will definitely come back to it when Reuben is here in person. Remember that after chapter 40, Isaiah changes and becomes less anchored to specific political issues of his day. And chapter 53 is alluded to many times in the New Testament. General Confession in the Book of Common Prayer has a familiar line, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. It was in Isaiah 53. It's also a gospel image, Luke 15, 4-7. Jesus speaking. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The passage always motivates me evangelistically to think, wow, angels in heaven rejoicing. What are we doing to spread the gospel? Oh yeah, did anybody catch the hymn? Man of Sorrows. What a name.
That's number 561 in your Mennonite hymnals there.
Man of Sorrows, what a name. Exalted high, hallelujah.
Why don't we all stand? John, you don't need to go back to the PowerPoint. Let's close this time together with just a few minutes of prayer. And I just invite anyone to speak out a prayer of thanks and praise to God for what he's done for us.
We praise you that you do speak words of peace to us, and just the words, comfort, comfort ye my people, run through my head. And I just thank you that you do bring comfort.
Yes, Lord, thank you that you bring comfort.
Thank you for your love and your sacrifice.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your love and your sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. It's such a burden when we carry sins around our lives. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. We praise you for the joy of forgiveness.
Yes, Lord.
In a world of so much misunderstanding and hurt and pain and conflict, grateful for that future image of animals lying down together.
Yes, Lord. Thank you for the promise of peace.
Lord, thank you that not only did you promise peace between the animals, but peace between yourself and mankind. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus.
Lord, thank you for your word and for the way you use it.
Yes, Lord, thank you for your word.
Lord, we thank you for the not forgiving the ones that stray away from you. You always seek us out and bring us back in.
Thank you, Lord, for seeking us out.
Lord, thank you for your plan that in weakness we are made strong. Not that we are strong and made weak.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for you are holy. Who was and who is and who shall forever be.
Yes, Lord. Thank you that you are holy, Lord.
Lord, thank you for our holes in this community and the opportunity to share your message with our neighbors.
Yes, Lord, thank you for the chance to share your message. Their neighbors. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the work of your Spirit and your Word and your Son, Jesus Christ, and just for the hope that we have to be forgiven. Help us to just carry that hope with us day by day and share that hope with others. May we see more come into your kingdom so there can be more celebrations in heaven as well as down here in your church. And we look forward to the day when we see you face to face. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would empower us so that that day we could hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." That we just ask that you would send us from here with your blessing and bless Ruben and Vicky as well as they travel back from Virginia. Keep them safe. Thank you for them and for their service and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.